Jackson Island. This is not a drill. This is not a drill. Time is 13:30 hours.
Before the dispatcher had finished speaking, Josh had turned away from the boathouse and was sprinting toward the waiting lifeboats at the end of the long pier. The engine overhaul he had been doing on the small outboard motor for the utility skiff would have to wait. Late morning, early afternoon clouds had long since obscured the bright morning sun. The sky had turned dark, the wind increased, and heavy drops of rain splashed hard against the windshield of the 18-foot Thompson runabout as it headed into the storm that was building to the south. The windshield wipers were unable to keep up with the heavy downpour. The choppy waves on the Straits of Juan de Fuca hammered the sleek-lined bow of the Thompson as Oscar Murray and his wife Linda tried to outrun the turbulent storm that stalked them. Their children, Tommy, age 8, and his sister Sarah, age 6, huddled together on the boat's floorboards between the two forward seats, using the adjacent bulkhead to brace themselves against the force of each approaching swell. Oscar scanned the horizon, trying to find the entrance light at Angel's Point across from Wilson Island that would mark the entrance to the safety of the harbor at Carlisle Bay. Then he spotted the taut and billowed sail of the 21-foot Columbia sailboat, the Wind Song, 15 degrees off his starboard bow. The sailboat was heading the same direction as Oscar, both needing to make port before the storm became too rough. The sailboat was taking full advantage of the strong southwesterly wind on its port tack. The sail and mast strained as it captured the strength of the powerful wind. The skipper struggled to stay seated as he rowed high up on the starboard gunwale with the port gunwale continually buried under the increasing swell as the Wind Song hove to port. Because of that, he was blinded to all that approached from the northeast by the sail that blocked his vision, exactly where Oscar and his family were rapidly closing in on him. Realizing they were quickly bearing down on the Wind Song, Oscar reduced speed one-half, reached for the portable air horn, and sounded three long blasts. By some miracle, the sailboat skipper heard the shrill blasts and responded quickly, trying to bring his sailboat up short. Instantly, he pushed on the tiller, forcing the Wind Song hard to starboard, immediately changed the sailboat's direction to a radical starboard tack. The skipper readied himself to switch positions for the change. He stood half-stooped in the center of the boat, waiting for the boom of the sail to refill with wind on the new tack. Whether because of inexperience, exhaustion, or total misjudgment, his back was to the boom as he adjusted his position. Suddenly, the boom reached its turning point perpendicular to the wind, caught the power of the wind once more, and swung toward the skipper, slamming against the back of his head. He was pitched overboard as the boom hit, and the hull of the boat tilted radically to starboard. Oscar watched, horrified, as the beleaguered boater began to submerge. The sail, out of human control, flapped erratically in the wind as the Wind Song turned in a frenzied circle. The skipper lay motionless in the water while the distance increased rapidly between him and his sailboat. Oscar immediately slowed his boat's engine to one-third and turned toward the injured skipper.
"Call the Coast Guard at Carlisle Bay, Linda. Tell him there's a man overboard off a 21-foot Columbia sailboat 2.5 miles north of Wilson Island. Let him know we're standing by. We'll try to assist."
"Yes, yes. Got it."
Oscar was within 20 feet of the sailboat in seconds. Getting any closer would put him and his boat in danger due to the erratic movement of the boom swinging wildly in the gusting wind. Quickly, he gave his frightened wife brief instructions on using the throttle control and steering the boat as he prepared to enter the water.
"Remember, push in the chrome button near the middle of the control before going into forward reverse," he coached her.
"You be careful," she said, worried.
Having grown up in Seattle, Oscar was more than familiar with the inland waterways of the Northwest. His family owned a summer cabin on San Juan Island, and he'd spent numerous summers with his cousins boating and swimming around the island. Of medium height and stocky build, he'd led the wrestling team to the state finals in his last 2 years at Lincoln High School. Nearing 40, the trim physique he once knew was now gone, replaced by thick, meaty calves and arms, coupled with an emerging tummy roll. Nonetheless, despite his